Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Pay no interest and make no payments for an entire year during their Beat the Heat savings event.
What's next? Playoffs? And how can we get there this year?
I want a taste of it. I want a taste of the playoffs. I can't imagine if playing a regular season game here is electrifying. It is amazing. I can't wait to see how the atmosphere is going to be if we make it to the playoff. And also winning here, I hear that it's everything for everybody who's won here. So I want to experience that.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Brian Bayo through translator Carlos Valoria at the Jimmy Fund Telethon with us on WEEI Afternoons, talking about playoff baseball, Fenway Park, something we're all looking forward to. Also something that no longer seems like we're hoping for it. We're now expecting it. It's an expectation, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's an expectation.
Yes.
Red Sox are going to the playoffs.
Yes, 93% mm-hmm. chance. Yes. Let's go.
Just jinxed it. Knock on wood. So we're good. Red Sox are going to the playoffs, and we know the Patriots, well, they play regular season football games. We don't know whether they're going to be good, whether they're going to be bad, but it made me think. Both teams are going to be playing in October again, which we haven't had that feeling for a while, Fitzy, the comparison purposes.
Four years or so.
Yes, and the Patriots aren't great, so it's not like the old days where you'd be like, well, Patriots are going to roll out of bed and win four games in October, even though their schedule isn't overly strong in the month of October. So I'll ask you guys. Red Sox are going to be opening wild card series in October. Well, I mean, I guess I presume the wild card series, but in October. And the Patriots will be playing the Bills, Browns, Titans. And what's the fourth game, Dan Ball? Can you look that up real
Saints.
Quick? Saints. Oh. Bills, Browns, Titans, Saints.
It's Bills, Saints, Titans, Browns.
That's three crappy teams.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Three beatable teams.
Yes.
And then the Bills.
Correct.
So you're probably going to lose. So the upside for the Patriots is probably three games, right, to win?
Mm-hmm.
That would be three and one would represent a two and two September and a three and one October. That'd be great.
And we're talking about a team that is in the proper turnaround.
Okay, so the Boston Red Sox will open up a wild card series with the best starting pitching in baseball, baby. Maybe not quite, but
at home, which is important to note because their record is very good at home.
So, Fitzy, I'll let you go first. Who's going to win more games in October?
You're probably not going to believe this is coming from the Foxborough fanboys' pipes. I think the Boston Red Sox win more games in October.
So explain.
Because I think they win. I think they win enough games in their three-game series to advance to the ALDS. Excuse me. And then I think they can win there. I think they can make it to the ALCS. Like we're talking, like at least five wins on their way to a championship series. I'll tell you, I'd like to do this exercise, but we're making predictions right now. Who's got a better big three? Who's got a hotter starting rotation 1-2-3 right now? In the AL, I can't think of anybody.
Oh, no. Right now, you can't. I mean, when you have three pitchers who are in the top five in ERA, three starting pitchers in the top five in ERA, that's ridiculous. Uh-huh. It's kind of silly. Like, if you were putting together the AL's rotation, just the whole AL, based on June 10th to now, you'd look at those ERAs and be like, well, I guess I got to take three Red Sox starters, and then maybe I'll take a Scooble and a whatever, like to fill out a five-man rotation. Like, that's how good they've been. Now, whether that's realistic, whether that is sustainable, because the one problem with that theory, Fitzy, is it is August 27th. The month of October is still, well, literally more than a month away, and a lot can change. We've seen that over the course of a baseball season, Red Sox seasons. I mean, how many times do we feel like we go from seven-game winning streak to five-game losing streak, and you're like, wow, that really changed.
Yeah.
As one of the texters pointed out, I did push the panic button last week, and I've now unpushed the panic button. I don't know if that's allowed.
How do you hit the kill switch, you mean?
Yeah, it's a, what do they call those, toggle switches? So when you can push it in, but then you can push it again, it comes popping back out.
Tune in tomorrow so he can repush it.
It is amazing. You press that panic button, and then literally like a week after the weekend, you were like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's go, guys. Everybody on board. Come on.
I just go with what I see.
Okay.
I react or maybe overreact to what I see.
That was a bit of an overreaction.
Okay, Ted, before I get to your answer to this question, I'll go back to the poll because I think Fitzy will be happy that the, unlike Will Middlebrooks, the voters agreed with him. Which team will win more games in the month of October, Red Sox or Patriots? 62% of the votes came in for the Red Sox, only 38%.
Almost two-thirds of respondents. How do you like that?
Now, in line with our previous conversation about the trends of these two teams, this vote would have gone differently, what, about 2 months ago? May sometime. Sometime in May when the Patriots won the draft, won the free agency, won the offseason, and Ted Johnson was like, 10, 11 wins. Oh, they're going to go to the playoffs. And the Red Sox were kind of scuffling about. I think this voting would have gone a different way. But Ted Johnson, right now, who do you think wins more games in the month of October?
It's the Red Sox, and it's really not even, to me, close.
Wow, we are just like... I just want to clarify. Well, I mean, but this means everybody's guaranteeing they're advancing around in the playoffs. Not only are they making it, they're advancing.
Oh, yeah, because it's a three-game
and
series.
I'm reactionary.
It's a three-game series, and it's in all three games, I believe, are played at Fenway Park.
I don't know if that's true. Dan Ball, can you check on that for me?
If you are the first wild card team, I believe,
you host all three. Okay.
You host all three. Yeah.
So even if you lose, you stay at home and you can close out the series. Mm-hmm. But so... You just kind of mocked me a little bit for being reactionary. But we are now, for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a few years, for a last-place team, a team that falls apart late in the season, now we're not only like, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to advance to the second round of the playoffs, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Despite the Patriots playing Bills, Browns, Titans, and Saints. Three of those teams could pick in the top three picks next year.
We could literally be 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Don't we feel like we got a handle on this Red Sox team? I mean, we've been seeing them play for a few months. We haven't really seen we've seen training camp and we've seen preseason games. We don't really know what the Patriots are.
Yeah.
We feel like we got our finger on the pulse when it comes to the Red Sox, and particularly when you highlight how good the starting pitching is, at least the top three guys. How do you bet against the Red Sox? With this scenario,
Fitzy, we have what was your phrase? Consistently inconsistent.
Consistently inconsistent, and that means there's another swoon coming.
And that's kind of how I feel about this baseball team. As much as I trust them, and as much as they are actually building themselves a little room for a swoon here, so they could still make the playoffs, maybe not as the number one wild card, but still make the playoffs through some losing. I feel like what we've learned about this team over the course of the season is. The other shoe could drop. Fitzy's right. Yes, Dan Ball.
I also think this Red Sox question is matchup-based, where if you get the Yankees, we've seen exactly how easily the Red Sox can handle the Yankees. But for me, if they get the Seattle Mariners with the starting rotation that Seattle has with the inconsistencies in the lineup, I don't love that matchup for them in a three-game series. So it's very matchup-based for me. I think I'd lean Patriots in this, personally.
And is that partly the matchups? Like what we just talked about, we're not exaggerating. The Browns, the Titans, and the Saints will be in play for like the top three picks in the draft this year, in all likelihood.
It's the Arch Manning sweepstakes.
Right. Exactly. It's largely the fact that the Patriots have an easy schedule and the Red Sox have a couple teams they fit well with, a couple teams they don't, and a bunch of guys who have played no playoff games yet. Like, I'm relying on Crochet and Bayo and Giolito to do something in the playoffs that we haven't seen from them yet, which is pitch.
From a Patriots perspective, by October, you hope that you've settled into who you are. Mike Vrabel is your head coach. We think he's a good head coach. Josh McDaniels is your offensive coordinator. We think he's a good offensive coordinator. You've settled into what your offense is going to be. And Drake May may have settled into who he's going to be.
If you think about just think about that for a second. The quarterback matchups for the Patriots in the month of October. Okay, Josh Allen. All right, in the first game in October, not a good matchup. And then the Saints. Who are the Saints going? Rattler. They're going with Rattler.
Rattler's their starter, yeah.
And then a rookie Cam Ward there in Tennessee, and then Joe Flacco in Cleveland.
I think all three of those
are
TBD.
To me, Drake May is better than all those guys.
Right.
Theoretically, they should win those games.
But I don't even know if those guys will still be in the roles.
Yeah,
your boy Shador could be in the starting lineup by then, or Dylan Gabriel,
the Bird Whisperer.
Yeah, but all three. Like, I think very little of those three football teams. Now, I'm not saying these Patriots aren't good enough to just roll out and say we're going to win three straight games. But I think the
initial...
2 months
ago, I would have picked them beating all those teams.
And now you're not.
Now I'm skeptical.
I think they can win two of those games, and I think that's more than the Red Sox win.
Wow. So Dan Ball does not have the Red Sox advancing.
No, I think they get to the playoffs, and I could see them losing in the wild card round.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
And I could, too. I don't want to.
Right.
But I also think the other part of me is this whole, you know, overdue. Like, I don't know if I totally buy into Bayo and Giolito can keep up this level of pitching.
Yeah.
For another
they haven't done
month
it.
And a half.
Flippity flop. Here we go. 5 minutes ago, you were driving one of the duck boats down Mass Ave, and now here you are on the other side.
No, so listen. I think Crochet will be great. I'm all in on Crochet and Whitlock and Chapman. So I have that whole theory where I have a win right there because Crochet goes 7, Whitlock, Chapman, done.
And on a technicality, that game will be the last game in September. It's the that's when the wild card round begins is September 30th.
Oh, that's even more porked.
And then October 1st, October 2nd is game 2 and game 3.
Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't really take that into consideration, that one-day thing. That's even worse for the Red Sox. If the Crochet game that you should win, could win, you like that matchup almost regardless of any matchup, if you lose that, if you don't get credit for that game, yeah, that's really unfortunate. The flip side is, Fitzy, what about all Patriots fans that have this theory that the Patriots always steal one from the Bills? What if you sweep up October?
A Sunday nighter in Buffalo? That's going to be tough.
I didn't say it was likely. I'm just...
That's going to be tough. Remember, don't forget, you know, it's mid to late October when I think you're going to really know what this Patriots team is all about and when you'll probably see Drake May start to fully grasp his powers within the McDaniels offense. That's great because he's going to be able to feast on the Titans and, you know, Callahan's Titans and Kellen Moore's Saints and freaking Stefanski's Browns with Dylan Gabriel and God knows who at running back. I full well expect the Bills to serve it up to them as well because this will be the last time they host them in the old stadium.
So did I just talk you into the Patriots having a chance to win more games in the month of October?
You did not, but nice try.
Oh, I tried. I talked Dan Ball into it. I'm a little surprised at the pessimism from Dan Ball there.
Why?
I don't know. I thought you would be jumping on the pro Boston baseball bandwagon, like your baseball guy.
I mean, I'm a massive Red Sox fan, but I'm a realist with how inexperienced and inconsistent this team is.
But what about all the numbers that are on your side right now? Chapman is ridiculous. Bayo Giolito, ridiculous. Like, there's a lot of trending analytics that say the Red Sox are a really, really good baseball team, put together nicely.
Trending analytics in the middle of the regular season for guys who haven't done it in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Mixed in with some, I mean, you got Bueller and Bregman are the two, you know, guys that
have had horses.
And Chapman that
has had mixed results.
So that counts for something. That kind of maybe offsets a little bit of the inexperience that you have.
I'm not saying they get swept. I think you go to a game. Yeah. I think you go to a game 3. You just need one of Bayo or Giolito to do something impressive.
How was
I'm not
Chris Sale in his first start? Like, not great right in the postseason, right?
I don't know. You brought it to the table, so I'm going to assume you know. Was he not great? I don't recall.
Yeah, my bad.
Don't ask me a question I don't know the answer to.
Ask me.
Yeah, ask Dan Ball, and he'll look it up for you. That's what I do. No, I do. The youthfulness goes both ways. Like, that's one where the youthful energy that everybody's crediting for the winning and the third best record in baseball since Devers was gone, all of that. Like, there's a lot of people. We got a text earlier that said Giolito's been great since Roman Anthony was called up. And, like, so you're crediting Roman Anthony with Giolito's success? How'd that work? How does that work? A veteran pitcher coming off an injury and somehow Roman Anthony?
Well, it's really, take it further, it's the reason Roman Anthony is playing as well as he is because of Bregman. So it's really Bregman that brings it
all comes
together.
Full circle.
But and let us, Andy, let us hope that Crochet is better than 2017 Chris Sale in his two starts in his first postseason, of course, also his first season with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
No great. 8.38 ERA.
Oh, yeah, that's not what we're looking for. If Crochet has an 8.38 ERA in the postseason, I do not believe the Red Sox will be winning a lot of games or advancing or winning more games than the Patriots.
Can I take a right turn real quick?
Sure.
The Patriots have released their practice squad.
Okay.
There we go.
You guys curious some of the names?
Sure, tell.
I think some of the more interesting names are running back Terrell Jennings is on the practice squad.
So your guy's gone. Your guy's not even on the practice squad.
He's not even on the practice squad.
Dan Ball wins again.
Jermichael Hasty. Jeremiah Webb is my guy. He's on the practice squad. Wide receiver, number 29. You saw him in preseason.
Oh, he was awesome. Yeah.
And then the was it Braden Swenson was what a fifth rounder?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is on the practice squad. So
nobody claimed him.
No, nobody claimed him. Yeah.
That was some people were saying that was the most surprising cut from yesterday.
Yeah.
Was Braden Swenson as a fifth round pick.
Yeah. I mean, when you consider they kept 11 rookies and the fifth rounder was, I mean, I heard people, a lot of people thought that that was a steal in the fifth round.
And also for a team that's not exactly locked and loaded on the edge.
Right.
It's not like you have, I don't know, T.J. Watt on one side and, you know, J.J. Watt on the other. You're like, yeah, it's too bad. There just was a numbers game. Yeah. No, you have Harold Landry, Chasen. Like, you got some guys that have had nice camps. That's about it.
Can I just say, I'm glad they expanded the practice squad. It was always a joke when they had like six guys or eight guys. How do you get better if you can't have bigger practice squad?
Yeah, guys. Now they have, it's 16 now, right?
Yeah,
I believe 16. It's 16. Yeah. And they expanded, it can be almost anybody. It can be older players. Almost anybody is now eligible for the practice squad. I saw you were talking about Hunter Renfrow getting cut in Carolina. There was talk they wanted to bring him back to the practice squad.
Oh, can you imagine?
Try to keep the development. That's a tough sell, but
Hunter Renfrow practice squad after what he's done in the league.
But
please.
If you want to keep the dream alive,
I give those guys a lot of credit.
I
do.
And the Javon Baker era has officially come to an end. Wow.
Yeah,
that's it.
Which is so weird because a lot of people were taking victory laps yesterday about like I told you he was going to make it. He's a special teamer. He's really good in the kicking game now. He's an extra wide receiver. And I even saw some people saying like he's not Matthew Slater, but he's a great special teamer now. And I'm like, after a couple months in summer and camp, and I don't know, I didn't really buy it. So
I'm curious where Kendrick Bourne goes. For him to ask for a release, I feel like he'd have to have a pretty good idea of where he's going.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Unless he felt like he was for sure getting cut, like to give up that kind of salary. Yeah. It just you'd have to think that he has another option coming.
Yes, Dan Ball.
The streets are taught. This isn't a rumor, but more just people surmising that he might be headed back to the 49ers with how many wide receiver issues.
I know, but are they going to pay him what the Patriots
probably not.
Are
Maybe
paying?
He just wants to play. Wouldn't you appreciate that if he gave up some money and he just wants to play? Just wants to be someplace happy and play?
Yeah, that's me. I'm team guy all the way. Just play. Whatever. Pay me whatever, and I'll do whatever, coach. Yeah, absolutely.
617-779-7937. If you want to react to our little discussion about who wins more games, Red Sox or Patriots in the month of October, or the Patriots roster moves, Kendrick Bourne, any of the football chatter we've had today here on WEEI Afternoon. Speaking of which, football talk on WEEI is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Nailed it.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll talk to Ted Johnson's former teammate, Chad Brown, a Buffalo, a Patriot, and now a broadcaster. He'll do Bill Belichick's game right here on WEEI on Monday night. You got UNC and TCU. Chad Brown talking about Bill Belichick. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox shut out the Baltimore Orioles last night 5-0. Lucas Giolito went 8 shutout innings to win his 9th game of the year. Boston has won 5 of its last 6. They are 13 games over 500, matching a season high. Game 3 of that series is tonight. First pitch at 6:35. Brian Bale will start for the Sox opposite Dietrich Enns. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arkin is tonight at 5:35, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. New this afternoon, the Patriots have released wide receiver Kendrick Bourne after he requested to be released. Wide receiver Javon Baker has also been released by the team. Also from today, the Patriots claimed quarterback Tommy DeVito off waivers from the Giants, as well as cornerback Charles Woods off waivers from the Rams. No Patriots players, meanwhile, were claimed off waivers today. The Patriots practice squad is as follows: cornerback Miles Battle, guard Mekhi Butler, guard Jack Conley, cornerback Brandon Crosley, as well as tight end CJ Dupree, running back Terrell Jennings, wide receiver John Giles, defensive end Truman Jones, center Alec Lindstrom, defensive back Kobe Miner, defensive tackle David Olajiga, as well as linebacker Cam Riley, defensive tackle Javari Ritzy, tight end G. Scott Jr., linebacker Braden Swenson, and wide receiver Jeremiah Webb. Okay, pencils down. Also new this afternoon, the Browns have finalized the signing of
of ex-Patriots offensive lineman Cole Strange to their own practice squad. And finally, from across the NFL, All-Pro safety Kyle Hamilton and the Ravens reached agreement today on a four-year, $100.4 million extension, the largest for a safety in NFL history. The Vikings brought back wide receiver Adam Thielen in a trade today with the Panthers, and Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice has accepted a six-game suspension for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. You've got to try the new burgers at the Nines. Bigger, bolder, and beefier, their half-pound, 100% American Angus beef is sure to please. Try the new bourbon onion burger and get more Ang for your buck. You gotta love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on-demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
There you go, Stiz. Crank that up, baby.
What are we listening to, Ted Johnson?
Colorado University fight song, Fight CU with Glory and Go Colorado.
Okay, all right. Chad might know if that's...
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines, find out.
I heard it, man.
WEEI Afternoons back here, and we go to the phone lines. Chad Brown, former Colorado Buffalo, former New England Patriot, current radio analyst. He'll be doing Bill Belichick's first game at UNC on Monday night. Chad Brown, how are we doing today?
I am fantastic, fellas. How you guys doing?
And was that the fight song? We have some question. Ted's not sure. Was that the CU fight song?
I don't know. Chad, you reckon? Was that the? I don't think it was.
That's not the fight song.
That's not the fight song.
Stiz.
Way to go, Stiz. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're sorry, Chad. Yes, we had it all ready. We thought we were going to, it'd be a good feel and everybody be happy.
Let me give you a little rundown. Chad, and thank you for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate it, buddy. But let me give you a little Chad Brown rundown. So I came to Colorado in 1991. Chad had already established himself as a premier linebacker there. Chad was part of building a reputation at Colorado for becoming the new linebacker university. It was stacked with linebackers and highlighted by Chad. Chad had 15 years in the NFL. 15 years in the NFL and was drafted in the second round. National champ there at Colorado. And the first time I ever saw Chad Brown play was in the Orange Bowl when the Notre Dame and Colorado played for the national championship in 1991. And he was making plays all over the field. I got recruited there and went and played, and I got to play alongside with him with about eight other guys that played in the NFL on that defense. So we were stacked. Chad comes to the Patriots from Seattle in 2005. And then I decided to retire. So I didn't get a chance to play with Chad in New England, but we played 2 years at Colorado, and it was great. One of the more unique football players you will ever see. Kind of played outside linebacker, played inside linebacker, 79 total sacks. Just a very, very unique player is Chad. But, Chad, we're excited to have you on because we want to talk UNC football. Of course, Bill Belichick is now the head coach there, and he is being in the news a lot lately for different reasons, but let's stick to football. You're doing this game Monday night against TCU. What is your overall impression so far of Bill Belichick? You played for him for a couple of years. Just your thoughts on his impact so far with the UNC program.
Well, if you're going to judge it by eyeballs and ears listening and checking what's going on with the program, it's already been a success. One of the most talked about programs and maybe the most talked about head coaching debut in modern college football history. So from that perspective, I'm sure UNC and the folks who count the money have got to be pretty happy. What happens on the field? Well, that's going to be a major mystery. We just got Gio Lopez was named the starting quarterback over Max Johnson just today, which most folks expected. Lopez, a transfer in from South Alabama, has got a lot of experience on the field, a 66% passer, 18 touchdowns last year, 5 picks, so he's got some ability to run the ball and throw the ball. But, of course, Ted, as you know, Bill Belichick is one of the greatest game planners of all time, and not only that, he's also one of the greatest coaches at looking at his team does well and drawing up a scheme that fits within that. you know, I played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, you play the Steelers, you are going to see a 3-4 defense no matter what. And they're going to have that blitz defense. They're going to get after your quarterback. That's what they do. When I did a coaching internship in Seattle with Pete Carroll, Pete Carroll's going to roll out cover three almost every single play. Mm-hmm. With Bill Belichick, no one really knows who this team is actually going to be. And here's the craziest part. I don't think Bill knows who this team is because he doesn't have the advantage of any preseason games to begin to vet who his team actually is.
What do you think the biggest challenge is? Because college is a little bit of a different beast. You mentioned Pete Carroll. He's a guy that, you know, struggled initially in his NFL career, goes to USC, and it just clicks. And he has the Trojans rolling, and then that leads to NFL success down the road. But what do you think the biggest challenge is for Bill Belichick, a college football coach, at this late point in his career?
Okay, I'm sure Ted can attest to this. It felt like it was at least once a week, Bill would stand up in front of the team meeting room, and I'll say it in the clean way. I've been coaching in the NFL for blank 35 years, and I know. So for Bill Belichick to know all that he knows, that's awesome. That's fantastic. But now you got to cram it into the head of a 19-year-old. Whose girlfriend just broke up with him, who's got a biology exam on Tuesday. So, yes, I know you know football, and I know you can out-scheme and out-X's and O's probably anybody, but your ability to get that into the head of a group of, 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds, that's a far different animal. So I think he and his staff will probably figure that out as things go along. Now, fortunately for Bill and the Tar Heels, no one is predicting them to be at the top of the ACC. Everyone's seeing Clemson as the cream of the crop there. They did not receive not one single top 25 vote. There's not a single North Carolina player who is a first-team offense or defense all-ACC team. So the expectations are high because it's Bill, but everyone also recognizes the program is going to need some time to get back towards the top.
Chad, for those of us that are unfamiliar with the University of North Carolina football program over the last several years or in general, I mean, I think most of us know Drake May and that's about it. And maybe we drafted Omarion Hampton in our fantasy team. Do you think this year's Carolina team will be more about the offense, more about the defense, or is this kind of like a work in progress?
I think it's going to have to be a work in progress. I think they're going to have to score points to keep pace with the ACC. Now, the ACC is not, the Big 12. It's not going to be a bunch of 65 to 62 shootouts, but they're going to have to definitely score some points. But for a guy who, cut his teeth on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think Bill's going to let the defense just languish while putting all the focus on the offense. This is going to, in my mind, I think as you're figuring out who your team is, you go fairly conservative in your game planning and your schemes. You don't say, well, let's throw the ball 60 times this game. No, you try to have some balance on offense, try to run the ball, throw the ball. You want to play good defense. And most of all, you want to be the cleaner, smarter playing team. Because as I pointed out, with no players on first team all ACC offensively or defensively, they're not going to go out and out athlete number four Clemson. Well, that's where Clemson's ranked right now. When Clemson comes to Chapel Hill, they're going to have to play cleaner, smarter, turnover-free, error-free football. So kind of similar to the start of the Patriots' reign where they got a bunch of value free agents, didn't go out and find big splashy free agents, but that formed the core of what they were and then began to play cleaner, smarter, being the sharper team on the field. I see a similar kind of growing process for the Tar Heels program as well.
Chad, you're there in Colorado. You see what Deion Sanders has done to our old program there at Colorado. It just the fervor and the excitement. It feels like UNC had the same kind of idea in when they went and got Bill. And do you see, like, what have you seen from Deion's impact at CU? And is that kind of a smart play? I mean, they re-upped him. I think Rick just signed Deion to a new five-year extension. Is that worth it for these programs to maybe go for these types of personalities to get people back interested in their programs?
Yeah, I think it is worth it. And I think you can ask the entire city of Boulder at the, $135 million at last count what the impact of Coach Prime has had on the Boulder community. If you look at enrollment, enrollment was up, or attempted enrollment was up by, you know, some super high number in Boulder. So the impact felt on campus, felt in the community, felt in the athletic program that was running at a debt, now has plenty of money. The impact has been tremendous. So if Bill can have the same impact in North Carolina that Coach Prime had up in Boulder, then folks are going to be happy. Now, of course, you got a couple of year window before we start to expect as fans consistent, steady winning and being with the opportunity to compete for a conference title, whether it's the Big 12 for our Buffaloes or for Bill and the Tar Heels, the ACC. So they've got that little bit of a window here. But I think there's no doubt about it that from a money perspective, which seems to rule most decisions in college football nowadays, the money impact is undoubtedly what North Carolina needed and wants to give them a chance to get their program back to some of those glory days they had in the past.
You know, Chad, I got people here. I'm not kidding you. I got parents asking me if I know anybody in the admissions office at Boulder to get their kids. And I'm like, Boulder? I mean, we let everybody. It was 70%, and now it's hard to get into.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to the impact of when you get a coach that not just is known by hardcore football fans, but is known nationally, has a brand nationally. Now, of course, some of the shine has come off of Bill's brand, you know, with the girlfriend and all the controversies of this offseason and maybe even the last couple of years there with the Patriots as well. But he's still a national brand. He's still someone that everyone wants to tune into. So I'm looking forward to this game on Monday night just because the entire football world, not just college, but in the entire football world we watch this. This is a standalone game on Monday night. There's not a bunch of other action to compete with this. So everyone will get a chance to see, you know, what Bill Belichick's debut as a North Carolina Tar Heel means to that program on the football field. But again, from a North Carolina community and bottom line standpoint, dollars and cents, they could not be more stoked about these dollars coming in.
Chad Brown, former Patriots linebacker, current analyst for Compass Media Networks, will be doing UNC-TCU Monday night, as he just said, standalone game. It'll broadcast here on WEEI. Chad, we should probably rewind a little bit. What was your first reaction when you heard the rumblings, rumors, and then it came to fruition that Bill Belichick, the legend of the NFL at 73 years old, was going to college football, was going to UNC? How'd you react to that?
My first reaction was a bit of surprise like everyone else, but once having just literally a few minutes to kind of mull this over, I was like, well, clearly, Coach Prime up in Boulder, that was a successful move for CU, so I wouldn't be surprised that another program would, you know, take that kind of leap. But specifically to Bill, and again, here, another thing that Ted could attest to. I know I said, how much can Bill get into the head of a 18 and 19-year-old, but my time with the Patriots, I was there for 2.5 years, basically. The bottom five guys in the roster, it felt like we turned over at least 3 or 4 of those guys every week. Mm-hmm. But sometimes those guys will have a role to play on Sunday. So his ability to look at a player, see him in practice, come up in his mind with a role for that player, and then give that guy a job to do on Sunday and have that guy go out there and be successful, he was perhaps the greatest coach I've ever seen at that. So if he's able to kind of take what that was and then look at his entire very young football team and mold them in that way that he was able to mold those bottom five guys on the Patriots roster and still get production from them, I thought, wow, if he's able to take that, then he will be successful. Maybe not in year one, but as time goes along, he's far too smart of a coach to not pick up on the nuances of the college game.
And, Chad, just because it feels like it's a prerequisite for anyone that the audience hasn't heard from before or recently but was intimately involved with the day-to-day operations football-wise for Bill Belichick, do you have a favorite Belichick story, getting yelled at by Belichick, getting reamed by Bill, Bill kind of undressed it, you know, giving someone the business?
Of course. I'll go with my story. So year 15 – you know, I get called maybe May, and Bill says, hey, we want to put you on a reserve roster for training camp. And I say, Bill, what does that mean? Well, if you get some injuries during training camp, we'll bring you in then, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. And then a couple of weeks later, he calls back and says, you know what? We've bumped you up from the reserve roster. We want to have you on the team for training camp. Awesome. That'd be great. What does that mean? That means we'd love to fly you in tomorrow and work you out. Bill, I'm 37 years old. I'm not quite prepared to do that. Tell you what, give me a week. Give me 1 week, and I'll go out and I'll work out for you. So I hung up with Bill. I called my trainer. I started working out. I started eating like crazy because I was probably down to 225 at the time. I show up to this facility, you know, and I tell Bill as we're walking out to the field, I've never done a tryout before. What are you going to ask me to do? What's this going to look like? So we go through all of that, and he says, great, you're on the team. You'll be on the team for training camp. So fast forward to the season, and as an older player at that point, and that team, the 07 team, perhaps in my mind being the greatest team of all time, I knew my roster spot was a bit precarious. So I was on and off the roster a couple of times as that season went along. So the first time they released me, I go up to Bill's office. Bill and Scott Pioli are there, and hey, you know, stick around in town. It may not be very long before you're back, blah, 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 blah. And it's a couple of weeks later, and I'm back. And then they release me again mid-season. And this time, I just go to Bill's office. Scott Pioli's not involved at all. And, hey, we got to release you. We need some more speed on special teams. You know, we'll bring you back, blah, 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 blah. Kind of a similar speech. And I fly home to Colorado for my brother-in-law's wedding, which is on Saturday. And then literally the Patriots are playing on Monday night TV. Roosevelt Colvin goes down with an ankle injury. I turn to my wife and I say, 5 minutes after this game is over, I bet you I get a call from the Patriots. 5 minutes after the game is over, it's Scott Pioli. Hey, Chad, I know Scott. Yeah, I'll be on the flight in the morning. Just email me the info. I'll be there. So I'm on the team late in the season. And then now it's getting near Christmas time. My family comes out for Christmas, and I am starting to work out. And Scott says, they didn't grab you? And I say, Scott, who is they?
Uh-oh.
He's like, oh, you might want to find Bill. I'm like, well, I'm going to finish my workout. I, you know, I'm already in here. I'm going to finish my workout. Whoever needs to find me, they can find me. So I finish my workout. I shower. I go into the team dining hall, and I'm about to make a plate of food, and I see Bill across the dining hall, and he's putting some grapes into a Gatorade cup. He catches my eye across the room. He makes a beeline over to me. Uh-oh. And as he's eating grapes, he mumbles this in between bites of grapes. We're going to have to release you. Bite, bite, bite. You know, playoffs are coming up, and we'd like to have you around, but we need some more speed on special teams.
Speed bite, on bite, special bite. Teams.
I'm like, it's the same thing every time. Okay. So, but I got released in the team dining hall as Bill Belichick is eating grapes. So, again, initially there was all kind of formality to the process, sit down in the office. Third time being released that year, cut in the team training room.
That's great. Great. That's awesome story. Hey, Chad, great stuff. Real quick, we'll get you out with this one. Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, the head coach. You played with him for a couple of years here. Your thoughts on him being the head coach and what you think the Patriots are going to do this year?
I played with a lot of amazing players over my time, a lot of Hall of Fame players, Rod Woodsons and Damani Dawsons and John Randalls and Junior Seau. There was nobody who I played with who was better equipped to be a coach than Mike Vrabel. So I'm not surprised with the success he had in Tennessee, and I am expecting tremendous success with him with the Patriots. And one last question for you, Ted.
Yes, sir.
With our Buffaloes playing Georgia Tech,
yeah.
Have you ever in your life said one time, you know, we split a national championship? Or did you just ever say we were national champs?
We were national champs. Never would I say we split a national champion. All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Chad Brown.
Great stuff.
Enjoy the game Monday night. We'll all be watching and listening, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, Chad.
See you, pal.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chad.
That was Chad Brown, former Patriots linebacker, doing the game on Monday night, UNC-TCU, with some good stories, detailed stories.
Oh, yeah.
He remembers the grapes that Bill Belichick was chewing on when he cut him.
Devil's in the details with him.
That was tremendous, tremendous storytelling. We'll talk a little bit about that next, and I believe Stiz will give us his prediction for wins for UNC this season. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
the field. CU knows no defeat, so roll up that mighty score. Never give in. Shoulder to shoulder, we will fight, 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 fight. Oh!
All right.
That was the best part of the show right there.
And based on that, I'm going to guess you got it right this time.
You got it right. Yep, yep. We sang that song after every win, so sang that song a lot.
Brag.
Didn't lose many games.
Now, they're not that great.
Now we suck.
Now even with a little bump from Dion.
We retired jerseys going 500. That's where we're at now.
Yep. All right, Stiz. Mm-hmm. It's not a quiz with Stiz, but you are the man of the hour right now. You are the current Belichick honk in the room, in the studio. And I know you've been...
Oh, he's such a homer.
Yep.
He's such a homer.
I know you've been prepping, doing a lot of research on the schedule and the talent and the Lopez kid who was just named starting quarterback and everything that goes into it from TCU straight on through. So, Stiz, how many games is Bill Belichick going to win in his first season at North Carolina?
I've crunched the numbers, and I am confident. I am confident with this prediction. 8 wins, Ooh! 4 losses.
That's a good
Eight
season.
Wins, four. That's a great season.
Yeah. No, it isn't, actually. It's not a great season. That's a good season. It's not a great season.
Well, it would be for if Belichick goes 8-4, would that not be everyone? Hey, that was a great season for Bill.
No, I think they'd say that's a good season. And then the now you're starting to say you put your roster together, you get a little time. Now we're thinking college football playoff. Now we're moving forward. So you think they will win 8 games. That'll send them to a bowl game. They've been in bowl games recently, but they've been with like 6 or 7 win type seasons. You'll get a little elevated bowl game. So I assume the other part of that question that we've been bandying about, we haven't really answered. Mm-hmm. Do I assume, Stiz, that means that you think that the Tar Heels are going to win more games than the Patriots this year?
I have Ooh. Our beloved New England Patriots going 7-10.
Seven and ten.
Okay.
It's full of crap because that's not what you told me
it's
off air.
Be close. What did I say? 6?
I think you said 4 at one point.
No,
you
were really negative. No. I think the lowest I got was 6. I'm gonna stick with 7. Now here's my question, Andy.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick 8-4 UNC.
Yeah.
Do you want to put a double saw back? $20. We've done this before. $20. If you're going to take the under,
I'll take the under.
Okay, so I'll take the over. I'll take 8. So what would that be?
So seven and a half is your over-under.
I'll take the under. You take the over.
$20.
$20.
It's official.
The bet is $20.
I thought we officially did like 30 packs on this show. What is money like?
Okay, we'll do. I'll do a Miller.
Beer is our currency.
Yeah, that's our currency on this show. So a Miller Lite 30 pack between you and myself. 7.5 wins is the number. I'll take the under. You take the over. You got Bill Belichick rolling to 8 wins.
That's right.
Does that include an opening day win?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, he's coming out the gate swinging. 100%.
I love his confidence, mm-hmm. Ted. I don't know if it's
with who?
Misplaced or... I don't know if this is misplaced confidence, admirable confidence, whatever
it's admirable.
This is.
It's admirable.
It's admirable. It's
blind. We'll see.
I love it. I love his confidence, man. As misguided as it is.
Dan Ball.
I'm also making a show decree that we're restarting the beer bets after the Jimmy Fund. You guys, you and Fitzy said you'd both donate to watch out each other's bets. So we're restarting the list. So from this beer bet onwards, they will count.
Okay. All right, Dan, I'm going to keep a doc. We're going to start a doc.
Let's keep a doc.
A lot of bets get thrown around on this show.
We need to keep track.
I have like 5 that we can't keep track of.
We need to keep track of those. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 5 o'clock. It's time for the drive. It's also time to say goodbye to Ted Johnson. Have a great rest of your night, and we'll talk a little Red Sox, Alex Cora, Patriots roster. That's all up next in the drive.